Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
What's in your heart for your life? What's in front of you? What's in your heart? What in your life could be better? If it were better, your life would just mushroom. Your life would just blossom. What is there in your heart? What's in your life? What do you see? You know, there's so much of this in this Christian, this faith walk that we have. How many of you guys are living a faith walk? Can I see your hands? I want to know who I'm talking to here. Okay, you really are. You're living a faith walk. Raise your hands if you're living a faith walk. Okay, now listen, living this faith walk, we see it before we have it. And we don't see it with our natural eyes or don't hear it with our natural ears. We see it and we hear it in this faith walk that we're in. It's by faith. It's through our faith that this all works. And see, and then there's things in our lives. Do you know what's interesting? How many of you guys have ever studied the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land? Anybody ever studied that? How many years were they in the wilderness? 40 years. Do you understand? 2 years into it, they were less than 2 miles outside the promised land. So for 38 years, they were just a couple of golf shots from the very promised land, but they didn't see it. And for 38 years, they went through. And how many Christians are living in that wilderness? And that's the experience that they've had. You know, is the reason you don't lead people to the Lord? Is there a reason that you don't invite people to church? Is the reason that you're not praying for people and they're being breakthrough in their life? Is it because maybe you're living a wilderness experience yourself? Could that be the reason? You know, I mean, when the devil comes and, you know, and he points his fingers at you like this, he's like, hey, stick them up, and you run and hide. Is it because you're living in a wilderness experience? And you know what the wilderness is? It's actually poverty, and it has to do with money, but it's not all about money. Poverty, means hand to mouth, or month to month, or just getting by, just having enough. I mean, don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys are living a life where you're just getting by? You're really not making any headway. I'm just telling you, the way the kingdom operates, the way the kingdom is no matter what you're going through, you may be in a lawsuit, you may have tremendous debt, no matter what it is, you may be upside down in a house or a vehicle or whatever, you may have gone through a divorce and lost everything, I'm telling you, that what God's going to do, he's going to provide a way, and it doesn't have to be a natural way. See, we're always looking for the natural way. But God's going to provide a way, and there's going to be increase and overflow in your life, even though you're living with it in a deficit, because that's God's will in your life. And all it requires is your trust. Man, if you've got trust, you can say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. What does the Bible say you get? Whatever you say. See, so this is us believing and us speaking. We're believing and we're speaking. And what is that? That's our walk. And let me tell you, I think about this. Charleston, our grandbaby that just learned how to walk, she looks like a little penguin walking. But I'll tell you what's awesome about her. You watch her. After church, we'll put her on display here and she'll do her tricks and stuff. She's got an interesting thing. They'll say, what does an elephant say? And she'll just go like this with her arm. And then they'll say, what does a snake say? And she'll go, and I've never seen a snake with that big and fat a tongue, but somehow she's got that. But then when she walks, she'll go like this while she's walking. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I want to walk that way. Man, my faith walk ought to be like this. What are you doing, man? I'm living by faith. I don't have to have it because I know that I know that I know that it's mine. See, we are not agnostic people. Agnostic people, they believe what they could see. They believe what they could hold or what they could feel. The agnostics are known only by material existence. But you know what? That's not us. Man, I don't have to see the doctor's report to know that God's will is for me to be healthy. Man, there's too many people that are believing God for a good doctor's report when you've already got the report of the Lord. What do you need, a confirming report from a doctor that confirms the report of the Lord? Or can you just trust God's report? See, I don't believe personally it's faith when you say, well, I'm believing God. Yeah, man, believe God for health, yes, but believe God for a good report? What are you gonna, what are you gonna hit the dumps? Are you gonna get depressed if you don't get that good report? What if that spot is still there? Because see, what I see is tumors or cancer or diagnosis you get, you know what, medically, scientifically, they may be sound. But the Bible's real clear. It says, whose report are you gonna believe? Man, we're gonna believe the report of the Lord. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we're gonna trust the Lord. And see, we have to look at this and understand that the report may be bad, but God's news is always what? It's good news. It's the gospel. It's the good news of the kingdom, God's way of doing things and being right. Man, the good news, you might be here and you might have a boxcar load of sin and that you're dragging through life. Guess what God's going to do? He's going to pull the pin on that boxcar, and too many people are going to feel like that their identity is in that boxcar of sin. I've got to reattach that boxcar of sin and pull it through life. No, you can be free of that tonight in the name of Jesus. See, that's how transformational God's word is. And that's what God can do. It. I said, and turn your Bibles to Romans 6. Romans 6. This is going to be amazing because I'm going to tie it in with a story from Joshua. And this is going to come together for you tonight. And there's going to be a cross-reference of God's word that you'll be able to get up tomorrow and rethink it, relook at it. And you're going to see things that are going to be just so amazing. How many of you guys want to see things in God's word that are amazing? Can I see your hands? You really want to. I believe you do. That's why you're here on Wednesday night. Man, you're not here on Wednesday night because this is an obligation. Man, you're here on Wednesday night because this is a privilege. We're going to break the bread of life tonight. Man, some of you guys, the enemy's trying to lay hold of you. And you know what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to submit yourself to God tonight, resist him, and guess what he has to do? Flee. He's got to take off. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? See, Paul's writing here and he's talking. He's saying, listen, God's grace is so, the power is so immense. His favor is so supernatural. Man, do you guys ever think of the favor of God? Huh? Do you ever think of that? Taylor, is the favor of God operative in your life? Yes. Why? From a little boy, he was trained to see God's favor operative in his life. From a little boy, I'm just telling you, it's just a favor of God, Dad. It's just a favor of God. And see, you start thinking, man, here's what I want you to do. Here's your homework, okay? I want you to find three times from now. How many guys are coming back Sunday? Sunday. How many guys aren't? Because I'm gonna extend your homework. If you're not gonna be here Sunday, you're gonna have a big load, okay? Because I can't count on you to come up with it on your own, can we, Chano? No, they're gonna take a nap and they're gonna go, what was my homework? I forgot. But see, what you've got Belle and you've got Tara, so you can cheat off them. So you can just glide through life. Okay? So here's your homework. You gotta find three times every day from now till Sunday. How many of you guys are coming back Sunday? Okay, three times from now till Sunday. That means Thursday. Should we count today or not? Let's not. Let's start tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we won't count Sunday because you'll be here. So you've got to find nine times between now and Sunday that you experience something in your life and you go, whoop, that's just a favor of God. That's just a favor of God. It could be so trivial that somebody could come up. Sandy and I, we went to a store at Utica Square this past weekend. And Sandy had a coupon that she got for her birthday, and it was about to expire, and it was for 15%. And so she got up to the counter, and she had this coupon, and the girl goes, no, I got a better coupon than that, and gave her a coupon for like 20 or 25% off. Let me tell you, it's going to sound goofy, all right? It really is. You're gonna be like one of those people. But in your heart, just maybe even murmur, just under your breath and mutter, just say, that's just a favor of God. Just a favor of God. Just little things like that. Man, it's just a favor of God. Man, you start getting a scratchy throat. You're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm coming down with something. No, God, I resist this. I submit to you, God. I resist this, and it has to flee. And then you know what? You get up the next day and you feel fine. You go, man, that's just a favor of God. See, I get it. Begin to identify the favor of God. Can you do that? How many guys will do that between now and Sunday? Just begin to identify the favor of God in your life. Okay, are you going to sin just because God's grace is so big? That's what Paul asked him in Romans. Verse 2, certainly not. Everybody say, heck no. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Okay, now listen, we've died to sin. And you'll say, well, wait a second. Do you still sin? I have to admit I do. I have to admit that sometimes I fall short. Okay? Am I a sinner? No. Why? I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I'm a Christian now. You can't be a Christian sinner. You could be a Christian singer. I would be an incredible. I just have never had that opportunity yet. That door has not opened in my ministry yet. But a Christian sinner, that's an oxymoron. Those things conflict. They don't match up. Even though we've sinned, guess what? We're covered, and God doesn't account that sin to us. See, so in verse 2, it says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 3, or don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. We were baptized into Christ. That doesn't mean water baptism here. That means we were immersed, listen, in the finished work of Christ. It's Christ Jesus. We're immersed in the action that God did to redeem our lives. See, so now I've been immersed in that. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that this immersion, that just as Christ was raised, listen to this, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also, listen, should walk in newness of life. Underline that. To make a note, I walk in newness of life now. I don't walk according to the way of the world that I formerly walked in. And what's my walk now? My walk is I believe and I speak. I believe and I speak. I believe and I speak. That's my walk. Okay, I don't believe and speak the way I used to. Okay, I died to that. Man, you're not going to hear me say, man, I'm coming down with something. You're not going to hear me say, listen, my children have never heard me say, "What? No, we can't afford that." Man, I may have 10 bucks in my pocket. Something costs 50 bucks. I'm not going to buy it, but why not? I'm not going to not buy it because I can't afford it. I just choose not to buy it. See, that's what the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. But see, you feel like you need to explain everything and qualify everything. And what does the Bible say? Where there are many words, transgression surely follow. Again, I'll use Taylor's example. Taylor, finish this statement. When an adult says no, I drop it. Why? Because a kid's going to, you're going to say, hey, Dad, can we buy this? No. Well, why? Why can't we? Just pull out your wallet, grab one of those plastic cards, and give it to that girl. I've seen you buy things like that all the time, but guess what? That no, what does that no mean? And when you hear, when there's no, guess what? You drop it. And you don't have to explain a dadgum thing. Matter of fact, your explanation brings you down from that platform of seated in heavenly places with Christ every time. The explanation. Man, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Man, you want to conquer in life? You want to lay hold of eternal life? These are simple principles that you can win by, that you can live by. Newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, we can't be like those who just know him. We have to be like those who know him and the power of his resurrection. We have to know the power of his resurrection. Write that down. I know the power of his resurrection. Man, you think about the power of his resurrection. knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And this is the key. The key, listen, it's not that you're going to walk perfectly, but we're being perfected. It's that we're no longer slaves to that sin. You're not listening to me. See, it's not, oh, I got to quit sinning. Oh, I got to identify this action I'm doing right now as sin. I've got to quit doing it. No, you got to say, no, I'm not a slave to that anymore. If you are a slave to anything, the Bible calls it sin. If there's a habit that you have that you can't stop doing, it's sin. Think about it. Man, it might be television. Might be Netflix. Might be, I mean, it could be anything. See, we've got to look at this. If you're a slave to anything, man, it separates you from God. Because everything about God, are you ready to write again? Everything about God produces freedom in our lives. Everything. So if we're a slave to something, that slavery doesn't produce freedom. It's the opposite. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That see, we die to the flesh. See, my flesh, my Kennedy and I were on our way to church tonight, and she was just talking. She said, you know, man, our emotions are totally linked to our flesh. And you know what? Absolutely. You know, God gave us emotions and God gave us a flesh, but neither of which were designed to rule over us. All of which, listen, the reason we carry a flesh on this earth is so that we could take dominion over it. And listen, and no one else has control over that victory but us. Nobody. See, now go to Joshua, the first chapter. Go to Joshua, the first chapter. Let's just read the first three verses, because this is going to connect now with Romans 6. This is God's commission to Joshua. And guess what we are? It's kind of a cornball. It was a cheesy 1990s expression in the church. We're the Joshua generation. You guys remember that? Aren't you glad that kind of just floated out into the sunset? But we are, okay? This is God's commission to us in our lives. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, who was Moses' assistant, and what he said was, my servant Moses is dead. Well, they'd been mourning that for 30 days already. He said, my servant's dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all your people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I'm going to give you, as I said to Moses. Okay, now listen. He said, Moses is dead. Your old nature's dead. What was bound to the law is dead. Okay, it's dead. How many of you guys are born again? You know you're going to heaven because Jesus is Lord of your life. Let me see both hands. Okay, Moses is dead. Man, that your slavery to sin is dead. All right, understand that. Everything attached to Moses at that time didn't cross over to the promised land. You know the story, right? See, so what do we have to do? We've got to look at this. And what did he say? Man, he said, what do you have to do? You got to allow that nature, that sin nature that's in your flesh, you got to allow it to be dead. And quit trying to inflate it. Quit trying to patch it up and inflate it and see if it's buoyant again. No, you know what? It's dead. None of your reliance is on that anymore. See, so what did he tell? He said, look, your old nature's dead. So the inference here is God's doing a new thing. And what the Bible says is when God's doing a new thing, he says, shall you not know it? He said, I'll give you rivers in the desert. I'll give you highways in the wilderness. Instead of wandering through the wilderness trying to trying to find a clearing, God's going to give you a highway. And that Bible says that that highway is the highway of holiness, and sin can't travel on it. So now, he in that highway of holiness, the Bible says that he'll widen the path beneath our feet so they don't slip. I mean, Wes, how long have you been serving God now? 6 years. Let me tell you, a guy like Wes that I knew 7 years ago, he'd be slipping off that road. He wouldn't be able to walk in that road. But what does God do? God makes it a sure thing for Wes. So Wes starts out going, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? This is a narrow path. How am I going to do it? It's like walking a tightrope. How am I going to do it? And then you realize, wait a second, it's widening. Wait, I could do this. Oh my gosh. And then the next thing you know, there are people on that path with him. Man, Scott's on that path with Wes. There's no way Scott's going to let him fall off that path. There's no way Harold's going to let him slip off that path. There's no way I'm going to let you slip off your path. See, that's why God widens it. So now, man, the path that I'm on, I'm not walking alone. Do you understand in ministry, I do nothing alone. Nothing. There's no part of my ministry life where I'm isolated. So guess what? Two are always better than one. What's the first thing that Jesus did? He built a team. So what did God tell Joshua? Here's what you've got to do. Number one, he said, arise. Write that down. Arise. He didn't just say, get up and go. He said, arise. And then he said what? He didn't just say, go. He said, go over. He said, arise. Go over. Then what he said? Here's a key point. Put that scripture back up. He said, you take you and all your people. Wait a minute. We're blowing it. I was thinking it was me. Go to the previous verse, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, okay, that's a big point. Now, how many hesitators do we have in here? How many contemplators do we have in here? Now, therefore, arise. You arise, you jump up. Man, you're not just getting up. You're not just crawling up. Arise, go over. You and all this people. See, this isn't about Gib getting his breakthrough. Tom, I'll tell you where your breakthrough is. It's with you and all your people. See, that's where we've missed out on this. Man, do I have people that aren't in the kingdom? I've got to arise. I've got to go over. I've got to get my people. Man, I'm telling you, more than likely, I believe I'm right about this. I believe that I'm going to face an account when I get to heaven. I've always thought this. It's like people say, well, is there going to be a rapture of the church? Or is it a mid-trib or is it a post-trib? I was with all these real smart Christian guys, and there were theologians talking about this. And it was about 12:30. And I remember I'm looking at my watch going, it's 12:30. Do these guys don't eat? This is crazy. I mean, you ever been in a situation like that where guys, just smart guys, are talking? And I'm looking at my watch, it's 12:30, and I'm thinking, these guys, they got to eat sometime. And all of a sudden, my friend Mike Hayes goes, Pastor Bill Shear, what are you thinking? I'm like, man, roast beef sandwich or something is what I'm thinking. I'm at least thinking a hot dog with some yellow mustard. I don't know. He goes, no, what are you thinking? Where do you stand on the end times? I said, I'm a rapture guy. He said, okay. And the guy looked at me and goes, why? I said, because I always have been. I don't care. And some of you end times guys, you might go, well, you better care. I don't. However it shakes out, however it ends up, I'm with Jesus and reigning with him forever, okay? So what I go through, yeah, but I'm a rapture guy. Why? Because the Bible says I'll be caught up in the air with him. I'm not so sure. You've never heard me preach this. Why? Ask me why. I don't care. I know at some level I probably should care. I might lay awake at night tonight and God browbeat me and say, sure, you need to care. But as of right now, when I'm talking this with 2:58, I don't care. Okay, but the point is I've got people that I'm accountable for. And I want to get those suckers to heaven. somehow. Man, there's a guy, there's a biker guy here in town that I prayed with half a dozen times. And I'll just roll into a shop and he'll say, "Hey, preacher, what's going on, man? I'm just here to pray for you." And you know what he'll do? "Okay, lay it on me." He'll go like this. He'll lift his hands like this. I'll go and I'll put my hand on his head and I'll say, "God, I thank you for blessing my brother." Matter of fact, and I'll say his name. I'll say, "Okay, pray with me. Father God." He'll go, "Father God, I make Jesus Christ the Lord." He's done that six times now. "I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life." He'll say, "I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life." And then he'll go, "Woo!" You know, shake like this, like he's watched Benny Hinn on TV or something. But it's like, I want him to confess Jesus as many times as I can because I know his name's on that account. Yeah, do I hope he's in church? Much of his family's in our church. But you know what? Yeah, that he's in church, I really care that he's in heaven. I don't want to go, "Oh, shoot. Oh, my gosh. That was a hard one, Jesus. That guy was just a..." It doesn't... See, God's giving you the land. That's what he says to Joshua. "The land that I'm giving you. The land that I'm giving you." Do you understand you have an inheritance that God is giving you right now because you're a part of this generation, that all you've got to do is believe and speak, believe and speak, believe and speak. But you just have to take a stand. You've got to take a stand of faith. That's what you have to do. You know, and I'm going to close with a go-to scripture, but it's out of the Amplified, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And out of the New King James, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable in him, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." In the Amplified, it reads this way. Okay, Romans 12, 1. In the Amplified. "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship." Verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs." I love that part of this. I don't want to conform my life to the superficial customs of the world, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect in his sight for you will of God. I think that God wants to do something in our lives, and it might as well start tonight. I believe that there's things in your life that God has already checked you about. God's already convicted your life about something, and you're still doing it. Man, there were convictions I had as a brand new Christian, really didn't know much, couldn't qualify those convictions, but just knew that I wasn't a party to that anymore. And have any of those things that were convictions set back into my life? Man, I don't want anything in my life that's going to be between me and God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.